Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
New numbers out of Gloucester County look really good for Jack Cittarelli. Really good. Republicans are now ahead in early voting in blue Gloucester County, New Jersey. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, Rich Zeoli Show. Same with YouTube, by the way. Subscribe to my YouTube channel if you would. Robert Peters has been on the show before. It's great to have him back. Robert Peters, Senior Research Fellow for Strategic Deterrence at the Heritage Foundation's Allison Center for National Security. Robert, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing today, Rich?
Doing well. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Have you had a chance to see the new Netflix movie House of Dynamite?
Yeah, I actually saw it over the summer for some of us nuke nerds.
Nuke nerds. Before I get into the how realistic it is or not, as far as nuclear movies go, did you like it in the sense of like it was a good nuclear movie?
I mean, I'm not sure it counts as a nuclear movie. It's more like a Zoom. It's a movie about a Zoom meeting that never ends.
That's a good point. Yeah, I guess so.
Sure. It's entertaining at times.
What are some of your favorite nuclear movies as a nuke nerd, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, so you've got to go for Dr. Strangelove. And then, I mean, that's the best. Failsafe is a great one. The other one really is Hunt for Red October. I mean, that's a terrific one.
What about The Day After? I think you cut out. Can you hear me, Robert?
Yeah, now I can.
All right, so The Day After with Jason Robards. Do you remember that one?
I do. I was very young. I was like 7 when that one came out. Yeah.
Only played one time, and they never played it again on TV. Had a big warning label on it. I watched it again recently, and it holds up pretty well. That one's like a real. I mean, when the nuclear bombs go off, and there's a scene where there's a bride and groom, and they just basically turn into skeletons right there. I mean, that's a scary movie. But I thought that was well done.
Yeah, yeah.
What about Through the Looking Glass? Did you ever see that one?
Not seen that one.
Okay. All right, well, Hunt for Red October, man, that's a great one, too. That's a great one.
Yeah, that really does hold up well. So, yeah.
So this new movie that's out, I'm going to play a trailer of it. It's called House of Dynamite. And to Robert's point, yeah, it basically is a long Zoom meeting between the president and the Secretary of Defense, a deputy national security advisor, which is basically the role that Dr. Coates had in the Trump administration, and also the top general at the general who oversees the nuclear operations, basically. So let's play the trailer, and then we're going to talk about it in a second. Go ahead.
Home. Everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of lived out their lives on the mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors, so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. In our obscurity, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The earth is where we make our stand. It underscores our responsibility to preserve and cherish the only home we've ever known.
Okay, so in the trailer, it's very visual. It shows a lot of people who are freaking out because a missile's been launched at the United States of America, and they are trying to shoot it down. So there's an article that came out that basically said the Pentagon is very upset about this movie for a variety of reasons. So, Robert, first of all, the idea that they miss and they don't shoot the missile down, the nuclear missile— and they say in the movie it's basically a 50-50 shot. It's a bullet hitting a bullet. How accurate is that description from the movie's perspective?
Well, so in the movie, as you point out, they take two shots at the missile. Four interceptors at an inbound threat with the current GBI loadout that we have now in Alaska. So why they shot only two as opposed to four, unknown. But then in the movie, they miss with the two that they fire. And as opposed to firing two more interceptors, they just choose not to. And they kind of say, oh, point in the movie in which I laughed out loud while I was watching it. It was just this decision to just, you know, we'll just absorb a nuclear strike on the American homeland.
Pentagon frets over House of Dynamite nuclear doomsday film. This is a Bloomberg article. In the article, the Pentagon says that the tests they've done 100% accuracy, they can knock one of these missiles out of orbit once it's over a certain, you know, that's what they say in terms of that. The president wants to build a golden dome to ensure that if there is a nuclear missile that hits, you know, that's launched, we can knock it down without certainty. So I guess the question is, well, my question, my ignorance of this is, we already have a system in place to do this. Why then need the Golden Dome?
Yeah, so right now we have 44 interceptors that can do this mission. As I said, if you had a coming in, we'd probably fire four. And so that only gives you, you know, public school math, 11 opportunities to take down an inbound threat. And so there's a concern because the Russians and Chinese and North Koreans keep saying, to engage in what's called a limited coercive attack on the American homeland. And that's firing a limited number of nuclear weapons during a period of intense conflict in the United States to try to get us to back out. And so because they keep talking about this, and Kim Jong-un makes this threat once a month, Vladimir Putin makes this threat once a month, the idea is, okay, well, if we have texture, it would hopefully deter the bad guys from even going down this route to begin with. So I personally think Golden Dome is the exact right thing we should be doing. And it's technically feasible in a way that the movie really, I offer, does discredit.
Yeah, the movie is entertaining in the sense that it's very, very tense, and it goes from different perspectives. So you get the perspective of the woman who's working in the White House Situation Room. You get the perspective of the Secretary of Defense. You get the perspective of the president as this missile is now inbound for an American city, and they've missed, and they can't shoot it out of the sky. And I'm sorry to do a spoiler alert here, but you kind of get that sense from the trailer that, you know, that's pretty much what it is. Right. Now, it's a scary idea. In this movie, there's only one that's fired. But to the point that you're making, and a point that they kind of emphasize here, if there was an all-out nuclear strike, like if the Soviets decided or the North Korea or the Chinese decided that they were going to send up dozens of missiles, we don't have enough interceptors, and particularly if some of them don't work. then we would get hit with nuclear missiles. And, you know, if there's one rogue nuclear missile that gets fired, we probably can take it out. You're telling us we've got more than enough that we could fire. Okay, that's good. So it makes sense then to want a Golden Dome, because probably it's not just going to ever be one lone nuclear missile.
Right. Yeah, it's probably going to be a salvo of multiple missiles that would be coming at us. And if you had a credible missile defense architecture like Golden Dome, you would have the ability to shoot down, and I think the idea is anywhere from 100 to 150 inbound missiles. But the idea is to not just deal with the North Korea problem, which is a problem, to be sure, but the idea is to be able to convince, again, the autocrats in Beijing or Moscow not to try to engage in nuclear blackmail or coercive nuclear threats against the United States or a treaty ally who are underneath the American nuclear umbrella. And so in that sense, building Golden Dome is a response to these threats that the autocrats keep making time and time again.
Peters is with me right now. He is the expert on this from the Heritage Foundation. The story in Bloomberg, Pentagon frets over a House of Dynamite nuclear doomsday film. I think the film does have a political agenda in the sense that there's a scene where the Secretary of Defense says, this is what we get for $50 billion. In kind of a way that says, well, don't spend the money on building a Golden Dome because it may not work, because it's only going to work, you know, 50-50% of the time, 50-50 odds. But that's really not true. That's really not accurate, correct?
Correct. It's not true. I mean, we've gotten very good at shooting down ballistic missile threats. Pentagon's word for it. Look at the evidence that's shown in Israel and Ukraine. I mean, they have done exo-atmospheric ballistic missile intercepts at hypersonic velocities, in which you've got ballistic missiles that go exo-atmospheric, are coming down, and then the Israelis and the Ukrainians have both successfully intercepted these threats. And so this idea that we can't do ballistic missile intercepts is frankly nonsense. And moreover, it's not just an anti-ballistic missile propaganda. I would offer the movie itself is a movie that is part of the disarmament community. It says, why do we even have nuclear weapons to begin with? And as part of that, I would offer that they grossly misrepresent how we think about deterrence and nuclear doctrine writ large. I mean, at a certain level, it's rather absurd. The central premise of the movie is that the American president has to decide within like 8 minutes whether or not to launch a large number of nuclear weapons at the adversary, but it's never explained why he only has 8 minutes. And I would say that the reason why they don't say that is because there is no reason why. The president would not be forced to make that kind of decision.
The other part of it that annoyed me as a guy who's worked in politics is that the president would never not be surrounded by his top advisors in a moment like that to help guide his decision making. I mean, it's basically the president on Marine One with the guy carrying the football. Right. And there's no White House chief of staff there. There's nobody. And the fact that there's a deputy NSA guy who, you know, is also advising the president on this in the movie is kind of silly. By the way, the best nuclear disarmament movie, can you name it?
No, tell me.
Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, when Superman decides that he's going to get all a bad entry in the Superman. That was Christopher Reeve's last role playing him, and that movie was definitely not one of the great ones. But he does go before the UN and declare that he's going to get rid of all the nuclear missiles and basically gets them all and throws them into the sun. So let's talk about Russia's nuclear test, what they are now calling this nuclear this Chernobyl nuclear missile. Tell us about that, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, they've made lots of crazy assertions that they've built a cruise missile that with a nuclear warhead, which, you know, they've been doing that for 15, 20 years. That's fine. But then they assert that it's nuclear powered. So somehow it's got like a nuclear micro reactor inside the missile itself, which kind of makes you scratch your head. And then they say it's got a range of like 15,000 miles or something wacky like that. And so they tested it. It didn't have the kind of range they assert that it had. And from everything I've seen open source, there's been no kind of sensors that shows there's any kind of radioactive effluent or emissions coming off this thing. And so they say that it's nuclear powered cruise missile, but there's no evidence to support that it is. So I just think that it's one of these like Russian chest thumping things, which they assert they've got this super weapon that doesn't hold up to scrutiny. They've got a nuclear armed cruise missile. Okay, great. You guys have been building those for decades. So it's kind of a nothing burger.
And the president said, well, we test nuclear missiles all the time. Do we?
Not all the time. I mean, we do periodically test nuclear capabilities to ensure that they work, but we don't feel the need to test them, you know, as frequently as the Russians or the North Koreans do.
Because is that their way of saber rattling?
Yeah. I mean, it's all nuclear coercion. I mean, it's all meant to, like, convince us that they're serious and powerful.
You know, as I watch the movie, one thing I will say is that if you ever doubted how dangerous it would be for Iran to have a nuclear weapon or North Korea to have a nuclear weapon, I think the movie does do a good job of depicting how a rogue state could launch one or would want to launch one because they're not rational actors. And I will say the movie did a good job of that because it kind of rules out that it was China or Russia because they know that, you know, it's going to be, you know, the end of it. I mean, one of my favorite movies is War Games, where basically, you know, let's have a nice game of chess because, you know, we're all going to die here if we won't launch nuclear missiles. And I like the one line the president says, played by Idris Elba, when he says, I thought that if we had this great nuclear readiness that it would never happen because they knew that they would get wiped out. But it doesn't account for somebody like Iran or North Korea because they're freaking crazy. And so that underlines for me watching this movie why it's imperative that Iran never gets one because they're just freaking nuts. And number two, I don't know where North Korea is in all this, but it really I hope they never get one. Do they have one?
Well, North Korea has like 90 nuclear weapons. Yeah.
Oh, they do. Oh, wow.
They do. Yeah. And they're expanding their arsenal of intercontinental ballistic missiles. And so, look, they are.
I should say I'm sorry. Let me be afraid. I knew they had nukes, but one that could reach the continental United States, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, so there's evidence that they have ICBMs that can carry a nuclear warhead to North America. And they've got like anywhere from 12 to 24 of these missiles that could carry a warhead to North America. And so that is a concern. And that's one of the reasons why we have to expand our missile defenses. But I'm totally with you on Iran in that I don't look. Deterrence worked between the United States and the Soviet Union because Brezhnev, for all his failings, I'm not a Brezhnev fan, but he was a rational actor.
Right.
Right. Like you could deter Brezhnev. You could deter Andropov. You could deter Khrushchev. It's not necessarily the case that we can deter the Ayatollahs who have an apocalyptic worldview that's based on theology, not on a Western rational actor model.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's also what worries me sometimes about Pakistan, to be honest with you. I mean, I know that I know that they're our friend in a way, but I mean, they could have a government overthrow tomorrow and be run by radical fanatics. And they've got a lot of nuclear weapons in Pakistan.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, Pakistan is like North Korea, but Muslim. So which is not great.
And India, obviously, again, also a nuclear power, but India and Pakistan, they don't like each other, right?
Very much do not like one another. They both. So you've got India, which is a Hindu nation largely. So it's a nation that's led by people who believe in reincarnations who are nuclear armed and whose mortal enemies are the Pakistanis, who believe that if you kill an infidel, that's one way ticket to heaven. And they also have nuclear weapons. So things are a little dicey in the Indian subcontinent.
Yeah, it's like you go back to the old school days of the Cold War, and I'm reading Jack Carr's new book right now, Cry Havoc, which is great. And you almost miss those days when it was just us versus the Soviets and figuring out, you know, how we could use deterrence. And you go back and you watch the movie about the Cuban Missile Crisis, they've done a couple of movies about that. But and you realize that Khrushchev, as much as he came across like a crazy person, did not want to end in nuclear oblivion. And I remember there was a song in the 80s by Sting, If the Russians Love Their Children Too. And obviously, they love him enough not to completely get blown off the face of the earth. But when you're dealing with fanatics, fanatical people who, to your point, have an apocalyptic vision or this idea that if they die in the course of killing an infidel, it's a one-way ticket to heaven and 79 virgins or whatever it is, deterring that becomes much more difficult. And that's why I think it's imperative that we have the ability to shoot these things out of the sky, because We just don't know. And these are also unstable countries as it is. I mean, I know India is a democracy, but and the same with, I mean, the government of Pakistan. I mean, we're dealing with a house of cards with a lot of these regimes, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And that's why, like, I do believe in non-proliferation. I don't want to see a highly proliferated world because I don't trust, you know, most of the world's regimes to have access to nuclear weapons. Because at a certain point, as more conflicts break out, I mean, so do the thought experiment. What would have happened if World War One, half the actors were armed with nuclear weapons? I mean, four empires collapsed at the end of the First World War: the Ottoman Empire, the Russian Empire, the German Empire, and the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Can you and 14 million people died. So yeah. What if half the actors in World War One had nuclear weapons? Would that have become a nuclear war? I would offer probably. And so that's one of the reasons why. And that was a war we tried to stay out of for 3 years. And so that's one of the reasons why I don't want to see more countries get nuclear weapons, particularly if they're non-Western based and don't have a Western based rational actor model.
Robert Peters is with me from the Heritage Foundation. He is the expert on all things nuclear. It's great to have him on the show. This man knows stuff he can't talk about, and it's pretty cool having him. My buddy, who is an energy guy, sent a text. He said, North Korea does have the capability to reach us. Their goal is not to land a missile, but explode it in the atmosphere where it would take out half the nation's grid and infrastructure. Is that something that is something they could do?
I mean, it's unknown. I mean, so a lot of people believe that's true. Unfortunately, we've never run that experiment. I think it's certainly possible. What I would say is that when the Russians want to turn the lights on in Kiev, they don't do an EMP attack over Ukraine, or they don't do a cyber attack over Ukraine. They take out the power stations around Kiev when they want to turn the lights on in Kiev. And so I know that there's a lot of concern about EMP detonations, a lot of concern about cyber. But what we've seen on the battlefield is basically good old-fashioned conventional missiles who take out critical infrastructure.
What about launching nuclear missiles from space? I know that there's a treaty against that, right?
So it's a great question. There's a treaty against that. And keep in mind that in March of 2024, we were very worried that the Russians were going to put some type of nuclear device in orbit. And there was actually a member of Congress that mentioned this in open session, which created a bit of a hubbub. And according to the Department of Defense China Military Power Report, which they put out at the end of every year, they've said for the past 2 years running that China is looking to put nuclear weapons on orbital platforms so they can hit targets on Earth. And so I am increasingly worried that China and Russia are interested in having warheads that they can drop from orbit onto targets on Earth. We would only have about 7 or 8 minutes worth of warning before those things went off. So that's bad.
Yeah. No, not good. And in the movie, the United States was never able to determine who launched the nuclear missile. And there's a conversation where the deputy NSA guy says, we believe that they're that the North Koreans and the Chinese have the capability to launch missiles without, I guess we have a missile detection system that we use if somebody launches one. Is that true?
We do. Yeah. And it's never explained in the movie why we just saw this missile going exo-atmospheric and missed the launch, because where our ability to detect missile launches, even on the other side of the planet, is pretty darn good. And so that's another bit of kind of Hollywood magic that was done in service of the plot.
So there's really no way for them to launch a nuke without us knowing. And why is that exactly? What is it about launching a nuclear weapon that we're able to detect it?
If you're talking about a ballistic missile, you're talking about a gigantic rocket, kind of like, you know, think about the space shuttle or a big gigantic SpaceX rocket. It creates enormous heat blooms. And we have satellites in orbit that have been there since the Cold War, and they've been modernized and so forth. But we're able to see the type of enormous heat blooms that you see whenever a missile goes off. And we have literally rooms full of people who do nothing but watch this all day, every day, to see if we have a ballistic missile launch. So we would see it, and we would know about it in very short order.
Before I let you go, my buddy Michael Pelka texted me. He said, Panic in the Year Zero, an oldie but goodie. Frankie Avalon is in it. I've not seen that myself. Have you, Robert?
I have not, but boy, that sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good. I now that I watch, it's like I watch one nuclear missile movie. I got to watch them all now. I get on these kicks, and so I got to do that. Before I let you go, one other question came to my mind as I was watching this, which is I heard after the Cold War that there were these suitcase nuclear bombs that went missing, and I've heard this story for years. I don't know if it's like the killer bees coming from Texas, if it's real or not, but so A, is it real, and B, what kind of detection do we have within our borders if somebody were to say bring one to Washington DC?
I can't speak to suitcase nukes. There were backpack nukes that you could put on a pretty robust backpack and you could carry them with you under your back.
That's more in as a fashion statement than a suitcase. Nobody really uses suitcases anymore. So,
that is true. You know, that is true.
Although men with backpacks, I'm still not sure on the whole thing, to be honest with you. I carried one in today to New York and, you know, but anyway, that's beside the point.
So uranium is almost impossible to detect if it's shielded. And if it's inside a warhead, it's going to be shielded. So it's going to be very difficult to detect. Plutonium does not emit. And so even if you were holding some plutonium in a little canister, you probably wouldn't be picked up by any type of gamma radiation detector or anything like that. So if it's inside the United States, it's going to be virtually impossible to find using detectors or sensors. It's not really possible.
You really a Springsteen fan?
I really am, yeah.
All right. Other than that, this has been a fantastic interview, and you are one of my favorite guests. I thank you very much for your time, and I encourage everyone to follow Robert Peters at Real Bob Peters. Thank you, my friend, and please come back and talk to us again.
Anytime.
Well, I'd say you could see the movie, and I thought it was the point. My test for watching a movie is always, is my wife, can she stay awake for it? And she did fall asleep a couple times. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, I love these kind of movies. I love anything like this. So even if it's not totally realistic, I will probably watch it. That's kind of my goal. But I thought it'd make a good segment for the show in the sense that they're talking about this now at the Pentagon, at least according to the Bloomberg article. So there you go. All right, as we continue along here, I want to remind you we are live in Cape May on Friday, this coming Friday, for our Halloween spectacular. 50% off your room if you want to stay over Friday night. 50% off your room if you want to stay over Saturday night. Make a weekend out of it and have a great time. Either way, join us live in Cape May this coming Friday. This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, we are back. Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in. And on X at Rich Zeal. You can also weigh in on our YouTube chat if you like. And join us for that. Jack Cittarelli on his way to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, or maybe leaving Cherry Hill, New Jersey to go to Gloucester County, where the Republicans are in the lead, which is great. So some new data that I got from an anonymous source who I won't mention, but I'm going to share this with you. Ladies, for Gloucester County, Republicans pulling out front in early voting. As of right now, Republicans, 3,604. Democrats, 3,570. Percentage-wise, Republicans are at 41.17%. Democrats are at 40.78%. Here's where it gets interesting. Unaffiliated voters are 1,539, with about 17.58 percentage points. There was a poll that I saw today that said Jack has a lead with unaffiliated voters. That's the case, then look, he can win this race. There's no doubt in my mind about that. He can absolutely win. And I wonder how many of these Democrats are voting for him, because you have a lot of Democrat elected officials who have endorsed him. And I always try to not get too inside baseball with this stuff, but I got to see Glenn Paulson last night. He's the state Republican chairman. I used to be a county chairman in my old life. So I knew Glenn when he was the chairman of the Burlington County Republican Party. Got to see Sean Erlin, who you heard on the show yesterday, the current chairman of the Burlington County Republican Party. The thing about being a county party chairman is that you understand the workings of the machine, the Democrat machine that you're constantly battling. And it's very complicated. It really is. It's complicated because you've got New Jersey is two different states. I know that there's this mythical Central Jersey that people think exists, and it does not. But in the South, you obviously have the Norcross machine. In the North, you used to have, it was the Kushner machine. But then U.S. Attorney Chris Christie went after Charles Kushner. And then when he was taken down, there was only one political party boss left, and that was Norcross. And he ran the South Jersey machine. And when he decided in 2009 to basically back Chris Christie, then laid down for John Corzine, the machine laid down and Chris was able to win. Some of these Democrats who are backing Jack now also control political machines. And these political machines, like, this is the kind of stuff it's hard to talk about when you're doing a 3 or 4 minute Fox News hit, because you really can't get in the weeds on this stuff, which is why it's good to be able to talk about it on the radio. Some of these party bosses, if they decide to back Jack, they'll either get their people to also back Jack, and they've got lots of different ways they can threaten that. Jobs, contracts, you name it. And New Jersey, there's all these different authorities. Every authority, road authority, bridge authority, this authority, that authority. And all these things come with contracts, legal contracts, insurance contracts, engineering contracts, et cetera, et cetera. This is how the party bosses get their power, because they can hand these things out. It's not the jobs as much. Like, the jobs is much more old school, like Tammany Hall. Like, yeah, we'll give your cousin a job at the toll booth. You know, it's more about getting the lucrative insurance contract for the New Jersey Turnpike Authority, which is worth a gajillion dollars. You know what I mean? The other thing about these Democrat party bosses is that if they're backing Jack, they may just not have their machine work to turn out the vote for Mikey Sherrill, in which case then now Mikey Sherrill has to rely on her campaign doing it, or they've got to rely on the Democrat National Committee doing it, or the Democrat Governors Association or whatever. But you still don't have that local machine churning out the vote in a way that needs to be done if they're going to pull off a win. There's another factor at play here, too, which is that I think a lot of Democrat voters in New Jersey have had it with the Democrat Party in much the same way that I opened the show with today, talking about that, that center left group comes out with this report and says the Democrat Party's freaking nuts. You got to moderate. You got to become more centrist. And this political party right now, for a lot of registered Democrats, they think it's just it's gone. And Zora Mamdani, who Mikey Sherrill is backing, they look at that and they say, I don't want this. You know what I mean? I don't want this for my state. So those Democrats may be voting for Jack, regardless of whether the party bosses are telling them to or not. So that's another thing working in Jack Cittarelli's favor as we head into the final 6 days or so of the race. All these things matter. They do. It's not one little thing or it's a lot of different things that add up here. And as these things add up, the chances for Jack look good. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria. Vanaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Jack was on America's Newsroom today with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. I was on there yesterday. Shameless plug. I know it's pathetic. It's sad at this point, isn't it? And I was on America Reports today. It's sad. I know. But anyway, Jack said that they have the green light now to sue Mikey Sherrill for defamation. If you remember the debate, I'm going to play now. Let's cue up cut number three, just to refresh your memory on this. One of the craziest things I've ever heard in all my years in politics, and I've heard it all, is the allegation that the Republican nominee is a mass murderer. I mean, a murderer, sure, it's Jersey. Like, yeah, all right, maybe you kill one guy, two guys. But to be a mass murderer, that's a new one in Jersey politics. Like, that's a whole nother level of crazy right there. So in case you don't remember, this is the debate where Mikey Sherrill said this, cut number three.
As you worked to develop, got paid to develop an app so that more people could get more opioids and die.
I got here's to walk the at fact. My college graduation. I got to walk at my college graduation.
I'm so glad that you then went on to kill tens of thousands of people in New Jersey, including children.
And I never broke the
as
law.
They got,
I
you
never
just broke,
the law.
In fact, your campaign right now is under federal investigation for how you illegally got access to my records. So to say that right now, and I think you're trying to divert from the fact that you killed tens of thousands of people by
you
printing.
Broke the law.
Your misinformation, your propaganda, and then getting paid to develop an app so that people could more easily get the opioids once they were addicted. Families across the state deserve to know more about that.
Mr. Cittarelli, you get 15 seconds.
The difference between me and the Congresswoman, I got to walk at my college graduation. I'd never broken the law. She had to pay federal.
Now, in Jack's defense, he wasn't
on stock trade.
He wasn't ready for this to come out because in all the years of doing debate prep, one thing you don't think about is your opponent's going to say you're a mass murderer. You know what I mean? Like, so, and I was with some buddies that following weekend, and these are all political guys. And I said, you think this is one and done? And they all said, yep, one and done. She's not going to bring this up again because it's such an over the top, silly, baseless, stupid attack that this one and done. That's it. Mikey Sherrill's not going to bring it up again, but they were wrong. I was wrong, too, because I thought the same thing. She doubled down on it. This is cut number four. She had a press conference after that debate and doubled down on the claim that Jack Cittarelli is complicit in these opioid deaths. Now, to understand what he did, okay, he made marketing materials and created an app. There are hundreds of thousands of people that work in the pharmaceutical industry in New Jersey. And in addition to that, there are lots of people that do business with them. Mikey Sherrill took money from these same pharmaceutical companies that made opioids. So she's a hypocrite, and she's making this ridiculous over-the-top attack, and then doubles down and then triples down on it. Here's cut four.
I think that Jack is personally responsible for opioid deaths, tens of thousands of opioid deaths in New Jersey.
I think we've laid out the case that Jack is complicit with these opioid, in league with these opioid companies.
So you're no longer saying he killed tens of thousands of New Jersey residents.
I think he is right there with the people that, again, paid billions of dollars. So I think that the line is pretty clear.
And then she tripled down on this when NBC 10, Lauren Make, went up to her and asked her, so this is cut number two, and asked her flat out, like, you really saying the guy killed tens of thousands of people? Are you really going there? And she's still going there, cut two.
Accused Jack Cittarelli of killing tens of thousands of people. with his previous business. What evidence do you have of that?
So, as I put out, Jack Cittarelli had a publishing company where he published opioid misinformation, saying opioids were safe, that they were not addictive. And we've seen at that time, too, as he was publishing this, thousands of people were dying. And then on top of that, he worked with one of these opioid manufacturers who had a new product at a time when, again, thousands of New Jerseyans are dying. At the U.S. Attorney's Office, we were working to shut down what we call pill mills, those doctors over-prescribing opioids as people were getting addicted and dying. And at that same time, he is working with an opioid manufacturer as a new product out so that he can have a new platform so that you can get more access through your doctor to these drugs, because the opioid manufacturers didn't want to shut down this cash cow. And so he is working on this platform, which one person said, and I remember this because it was so offensive, it was like a choose-your-own-adventure, meaning you could go one way if the doctor says, no, try this, try that kind
of role. But that's different than killing people.
I will tell you that the same opioid company he was working with had to pay over $4 billion in a settlement fee because of the real harm they did to people. So I think it's very connected in most people's minds, this real harm, and in the opioid crisis as people are dying.
All right. Double down and triple down on it. So today, this is cut number one. Jack Cittarelli told Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer he's ready to sue Mikey Sherrill over this ridiculous claim. Cut one.
Mikey Sherrill has accused you of being complicit in pushing opioid addiction on people of New Jersey, and you have threatened to sue for defamation. I was surprised not too long ago. I heard from somebody say, and what did you, they wanted to know about this issue, and they had taken it on board that maybe you were part of some pharmaceutical push on opioids. If you'd like to set the record straight here.
It's a baseless, reckless lie. I just got approval yesterday from the regulators that we can go ahead with our lawsuit immediately, which is what I plan to do. And talk about hypocrisy. We found out the day after she made that baseless, reckless lie that she took money from the very same companies she's accused me of colluding with. We're not going to tolerate that kind of lie. The whole campaign has been based on a stack of lies, her disdain for the president, that she could fly a helicopter, none of which is going to fix New Jersey.
Good. Good, good, good. Go after her for that. But beyond the issue of suing her, which obviously, you know, is one thing, it's just the nature of the attack is so over the top, ridiculous, that people will dismiss it. And that's a sign of a very desperate campaign, in my opinion, incredibly desperate campaign. Meanwhile, Jack is getting the support of people like Kelsey Grammer, who put out a video message. This is cut number five, put out a video message on his Instagram and other social platforms as well, urging people in New Jersey to vote for Jack Cittarelli, cut five.
Hi, Kelsey Grammer here. You already know that I'm from New Jersey. That's why I'm talking to you right now. There's a lot of famous folks who grew up in Jersey, but some of them seem content to let you guys go on living on a prayer. Others have just forgotten that you were born in the USA, too. But once Jack wins, and I think he's got a good chance of winning, it's going to make it a lot easier to just shake it off.
All right, so we'll forgive him for the lame music references. But nonetheless, Kelsey Grammer, very well-liked guy, a lot of kids. Apparently he's got like eight and or more on the way or something. Anyway, that's a big deal that he's backing him. So Jack's got a real shot here, and Mikey Sherrill's campaign is desperate, and these new numbers that are coming out are very good news for him. But I want to make it very clear that we need more Republicans to vote early. More Republicans need to come out and vote early and bank that vote so this momentum continues and the numbers show Republicans are coming out strong, so that any Republican doubters out there, any doubters who think he can't win this race because they're hearing about their friends who look at Polymarket or whatever else, they shut up and just vote. This is all I'm asking people to do, is just vote. Just do your part and just vote. And that's what we need people to do here. And if they do that, and Jack's got a great shot. If they don't do that, then yeah, it'll Mikey Sherrill will win. So that's the problem. That's where we are right now. But looking at Gloucester County and these new numbers that come out showing Republicans are ahead, that's great. Great news indeed. And looking at the overall statewide numbers where the Democrats and the Republicans are basically tied. It's fantastic. Let me tell you about my friend and my dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. So why is he my dentist? Because for 12 years in a row, 12 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been giving people the beautiful smiles they deserve, and other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike for the really complex stuff. The real, like, you, let's say you need dental implants, you need crowns, you need something big. You go to the guy who the other dentists send their patients to, and that's Dr. Mike Veneria. Now, Bridget did not need implants or anything like that, but she did need a new smile upgrade when her veneers needed to be replaced. And Dr. Mike gave her beautiful caps. And my wife's smile has never looked more beautiful. My whole family goes to them. And with two offices to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, great people who work at both offices, great music playing. And Dr. Mike, you know, he's such a character, great conversationalist. And he puts your care, that's first and foremost. Like, there's a lot of these chain pop-up dental offices out there. Don't go to those guys. You go to the guy who is obsessed with your care and your and compassion for you. That's Dr. Mike Veneria. That's the difference right there. And it's why so many dentists feel confident sending their patients to Dr. Mike for the complex stuff. So just go to VeneriaDental.com. If you already had a dental implant consultation, please get a second opinion with Dr. Mike. It's worth it. Please. All right. And if you need any complex dental work, don't wait. Go see him today. Reach out to his office at 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A. My buddy, my dentist, and the undisputed master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Some big news today on the AutoPen scandal. That's right. The Republican House Oversight Committee calls all of Joe Biden's actions illegitimate on the use of the AutoPen. Good. So we're going to talk more about that. James Comer unleashing on Biden's Department of Justice. Scathing new report that the committee has put out saying Biden's AutoPen actions should be considered void, and that his doctor should potentially lose his license. Yeah, that's right. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer is demanding the Department of Justice conduct a comprehensive investigation into former President Biden's auto pen use. The committee's majority released a 100-page report on Tuesday morning detailing findings from its months-long probe into Biden's White House, specifically whether his inner circle covered up signs of mental decline in the ex-president, and if that alleged cover-up extended to executive action signed via auto pen without Biden's full awareness. Faced with the cognitive decline of President Joe Biden, White House aides, at the direction of the inner circle, hid the truth about the former president's condition and fitness for office, according to the report. The report also detailed a haphazard documentation process for pardons made by Biden, which the committee argued left room for doubt over whether the former president made those decisions himself. In the absence of sufficient contemporaneous documentation indicating that cognitively deteriorating President Biden himself made a given executive decision, such decisions do not carry the force of law and should be considered void. The Department of Justice should immediately conduct a review. When we get back, I'll tell you all about that review, what they're asking for, and what they need. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.